Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ram fans, this is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it.
Welcome to a spur-of-the-moment edition of Rams Roundtable, given today's epic news dropping. And so we figured we'd get the crew together and get everybody's thoughts. So I'm Tom at RamsBeat on X, your host, joined by my co-host of the Rams Up podcast, Mark, and regular contributor Ian, and Paul is going to be joining us soon. But guys, I mean, what a bombshell. We found out today this news that Jimmy G is joining the Rams. We had to get on and talk about it. No, just kidding. Of course, just kidding. Of course, we're talking about the Aaron Donald retirement. And we had to get on and talk about it right away. Couldn't wait till next Tuesday. So we're going to lead off with you, Mark. What are your initial thoughts upon hearing that Aaron Donald is, in fact, retiring?
Well, you know, the selfish part of me was immediately thinking about what are we going to do along the defensive line? Where does this leave this franchise? But I'm trying to focus on just celebrating what a great player he was and what an example he set in that locker room preparing. I mean, nobody has done it like Aaron Donald has, just getting himself ready for every season, for every game. And hey, you know, people are finally acknowledging perhaps the greatest defensive player ever, potentially one of the greatest players ever. Now that he's retiring, it seems like people are more willing to accept that, all those Reggie White fans aside. But it's a bummer, but I don't think it's the end of the world. And I just, you know, salute to Aaron Donald, what he did for this franchise, and just very proud that he was a Los Angeles Ram, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ian, yeah. What were your initial thoughts?
Gosh dang it. That's exactly when I got the messages from people, I was like, I can't believe it. But I, you know, deep down, am I super shocked? Not really. I mean, but the initial burn, that sucks, man. I mean, look at guys. This is the greatest Ram, arguably, in the history of this franchise, no matter where this team has been. Cleveland, L.A., St. Louis, was going to maybe be in the in Indianapolis once upon a time. No matter where this franchise has traveled, you obviously, listeners, have your maybe favorite Rams. This is my favorite Ram. This is my number one Ram of all time. For performance, for leadership, for off the field quality of human. It sucks to see that leave the building, man, and leave your franchise. And look, we've been on this pod and we've discussed that, hey, I thought this would probably be the last year that it would be the trio of a Cup, Donald, Stafford. But damn it, I thought we had at least one more season. I thought we had at least one more year. And then I would have accepted the retirement. But to see him go, he seemed happy. I think his wife, Erica Donald, posted a video on her social media of Aaron opening up a special alcohol drink to celebrate. And Aaron in that video said, I'm satisfied. I'm happy what I accomplished. And I can leave this game feeling good, happy tears. And I think if you can, as anyone retiring from anything they've done for a long time, can feel that way, then how can we not tip your hat and say, salute to you, sir. You did a good job.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel like I don't even think it's close. Unquestionably the greatest Ram of all time. He might be the best football player of all time. I mean, it's just
I know.
You know, so anyway, he has to be the greatest Ram of all time. But I was reading the posting on the on X with it when they posted his like retirement announcement and all that. I was just reading along, and gonna retire a Ram and one franchise the whole time. And I'm thinking, oh, great, he's announcing his retirement for next year. Because it had not even crossed my mind that he could potentially be retiring this year.
I know.
It never, ever crossed my mind. I'd always discounted all of his previous retirement talk as, a little bit of leverage to get an extension. I thought there was a lot better. I thought there was a chance that he might extend for another year because all these Rams contracts were shaping up over the next 2 years. And, concurrent with Cup and Stafford and everybody else. So,
Real quick, when you saw the restructure news, maybe about 30 to an hour before, I was like, remember we were hitting each other? Well, I was hitting you guys up. I was like, oh, perfect. About 9-10 million. I was like, well, that's good news. And then,
that's
what made it worse later, too. And
they did that on purpose to us.
Yeah. Well, they, the key was that the restructure did affect the retirement. And, I went on and on about it. I tried to give everybody as much content as possible on
it. And Tom, please share that again with everybody listening, because I know not everybody sometimes keeps up on the phone. Please share that. That's important.
Yeah, I mean, I go through all of the, the stages of it, but the net result of it is that he would have had a cap hit to us this year and in the contract in its original form before today's restructure of $34 million. Yeah. And after the restructure, after the retirement, and assuming that they designate him a June 1, as a June 1 designation, that means that, his current is this year's cap number will remain in effect, but the future dead cap will accelerate to next year. That means that he'll drop from what would have been a $25 million dead cap next year to a $21 million dead cap next year. So 34 to 17 this year, savings of $17 million this year, 25 to 21 next year, saving of $4 million next year. That's the long and short of it. The restructure was causing a lot of questions, because why would they restructure a bunch of a salary that wasn't even guaranteed this year into signing bonus? And they basically... It's the reason is because there was a $20 million in option bonuses due today. If he were on the roster today. Yeah. And so he agreed to retire after today. Before today or before, if they gave him something, it looks like that was the deal, the quid pro quo. And they gave him basically what amounted to $8.5 million in guaranteed salary. As a signing bonus, as a parting gift, in order to not get into a fight over that option bonus and so forth. So it's amicable, but that's essentially the long and short of it. I have more postings about it on X, but so that was it. Yeah. And then that way, that combined with Noteboom's extension today saved us $8.25 million. pretty good savings, you know, today and so forth. So anyway, that's the financial part of it. But of course, you know, we'd rather take a huge cap hit and have Aaron Donald on the roster rather than, you know, save cap money. We're never going to replace Aaron Donald with $17 million in additional cap space. So not going to happen. So anyway, you know, it is what it is. As Jordan Rodriguez says, two things can be true at once.
That's right.
So where do we go from here? That's the question. So, you know, that's a huge, they didn't sign anybody on that front, you know, that defensive line, right? I mean, noticeably nothing in the interior or on the edge and yet. And so, you know, obviously that becomes, you know, we had Kobe Turner in there, right? We thought it was the Kobe and Aaron show.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we have a gaping hole to fill that we didn't think we'd have to fill.
Yeah, maybe it changes their draft strategy a little bit. You know, I was thinking they were going to load up and draft, you know, quality players, trade up at the top of the draft. Maybe they still do that, or maybe they try to accumulate extra picks and draft four defensive linemen, you know, take that scattershot approach they did last year and hope they hit on a couple of them.
Yeah.
I mean, guys, I mean, I think we all agree that this was probably the case when we were talking about the draft not too long ago, that the Rams are not staying at 19. They're either going to trade up or trade down. That was something I feel very confident about. I think you guys agree with me to some form or another. So that's really probably the case this time around now that Donald is saying goodbye. There's no way they can just sit back at 19. Trade up. Let's get the player that you think will change the franchise, the best player they think is possible, or trade back and let's accumulate and let's try to hit more on the lottery tickets, right? Lottery tickets.
Yeah, but the problem is they still need another cornerback, I think. They still need an edge rusher. Yeah, and now they need at least one defensive lineman, right?
We need everything.
Gosh. And there's some money there. There's some money and there's some free agents left. So maybe there's some moves coming.
Yeah, yeah, a quick. Where does this all leave us on the salary cap? Very quickly, we're at about after the AD retirement and restructure, and then retirement, the note boom thing. We're at about $25 million, but that doesn't account for the Cam Curl signing, which there's no details in on that. I'm assuming it's going to be about a $5 million cap hit this year. And Jimmy G, I think he's going to get somewhere in the $4 to $5 million range. I think it's going to be a Sam Darnold-esque kind of a deal. Anyway, he is suspended for a couple of games next year, anyway, so let's just assume we have $15 million.
Like real quick, guys, what are we doing? Jimmy G an hour later after Donald retired, like, come on, man, at least give us a day to just mourn. Like, that's why I was like, today sucks. And look, this is no crap talk about Garoppolo, but it's like, can we just breathe for a night and just absorb the impact of the greatest Ram ever? And it's like, hey, former 49er player, welcome. It's like
one day,
bad timing.
Yeah, let's have what's the word, Mark? We're not going to talk about anything else except for Aaron Donald for one day, and then we're going to. And then tomorrow we can talk about no boom and Rose boom and all of our booms. And we can talk about Cam Curl and Jimmy G and all the rhyming players that we're getting. And anyway, yeah, I know. It's just,
I just wanted to share my thoughts. I was just like, what are we doing?
So you don't necessarily have
go ahead, Mark.
You don't necessarily have an issue with Jimmy G, just the timing.
Well, look, we can get into that, but it's just like, damn, dude, the man who ended Garoppolo's 49er career is like, hey, this is who our backup quarterback is. It's just ironic. I bet Garoppolo wouldn't be a Ram if Donald was still a Ram. I think that's a conspiracy that's not too wild. I mean, let's just be honest. There's been enough little mic'd up clips of Garoppolo and Aaron Donald having some crap talk in the hut, you know, after plays. So
yeah, I'll tell you what about both of those guys, though. They really do seem to me one of the things that, you know, we're thinking of, like, okay, what's your best memory of Donald? And it just kind of my thought of it is it's, he is, you know, so mild mannered off the field, right? He's so calm and everything else. But on the field, you know, in practice, his work ethic and his leadership is, you know, silent leadership, really. He really wasn't vocal very much until his last year or two. But when he gets on the field in a game situation, he's, you know, he goes maniac mode. And even in practices against the live practices, you know, against like the Bengals and stuff, he was, you know, ripping people's helmets off, and you know, he just goes King Kong. It's just such a dichotomy. But I don't feel like he would have had any issue with Jimmy Jam. Probably doesn't have any real, you know, animus towards any individual, probably. You know, sure, I know he doesn't like the 49ers as a team, but I'm gonna add, hey, we have Paul joining us here.
Very good.
What's up, Paul?
What's up, boys?
We're just breaking down the Aaron Donald situation, and we'll bring you right into it. What were your initial thoughts when you saw that he retired?
I thought it was a hoax.
You're looking then, at your calendar, seeing if it's April 1st yet.
You know, it was funny because I was at work and my one of my buddies at work, he was like, "Dude, did you hear the news?" I was like, "What news?" He was like, "AD retired." I was like, "What are you talking about?" And I looked it up and I was like, "Oh my goodness." So, I mean,
Anthony Davis, he,
He was hungover after a bad game.
Did he injure his groin again? Right.
Yeah. So he retired for the season again.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen. The first thing that popped into my head was, like I said, you know, I've said it every time, every year for the last couple. You can't pick and choose when you're going to make a Super Bowl run. These things happen. So you got to go in every year like you're going for the Super Bowl. But You know, 99 problems was, you know, he's Mount Rushmore. He's on Mount Rushmore for us, right? But, you know,
probably for the NFL, maybe I'd say.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's still Super Bowl time. So we have to, you know, like they always say, a certain amount of time to grieve and then you got to move forward. I just don't know why they handled it this way. If this was, you know, the way that, you know, if they knew that he was going to retire, why they would handle it this way, as opposed to, once again, just looks disorganized, just looks like not in tune with everything they're trying to do.
In what way? Ian was mentioning earlier that he would have liked for the other news about, you know, Jimmy G and Cam Curl, or, you know, Christian Roseboom, maybe Joe Noteboom, maybe for that news not to be released on the same day that the greatest of all time is released.
Give it a day.
Give it a day to breathe and let's celebrate this guy and we can get it back into business even tomorrow. But what are you referring to?
Like if they knew they were going to go this route, right? I mean, maybe the timing of it was based on some salary cap implication or whatever. I would have done it earlier, you know, like honor him, you know, like let the team get into that mode of, you know, really acknowledging what he's done, you know, his work ethic, the sacrifice he brought to this team, things of that nature, and then allow the team to move forward as opposed to doing it smack dab in the middle of free agency when you're talking about building an SB winner. And now you're like, okay, our number one player is now going to retire. It doesn't make it to me.
Yeah, today was the last day they could do it because today, as I noted on X, that today he was due $20 million in new guarantees and option bonuses that he agreed to forego in exchange for getting, you know, roughly $8.5 million, something like that, $8 million in salary and roster bonus paid to him. So that was then amortized over the future, you know, signing bonuses. So he got $8 million in exchange for not claiming $20 million. That was the quid pro quo. And so today was that, but that was due today. So you're right. I mean, to your point, Paul, in timing, they could have announced this theoretically way a long time ago. Ian, you were saying earlier that you thought that he knew as early as what?
Yeah,
I'm well, sorry, I mean, that the Rams knew as early as what?
Oh, I mean, it's based on all the reports the Rams have known for quite a while. What is that quite a while? My guess was at least the soonest, probably the combine, based on Jordan Rodriguez's cryptic comments about the executives, about people not knowing, Sean and Les's non-committal comments about Aaron Donald's future and how – you know, how not concrete that was about how others around the NFL were like, hey, something's going on there. Let's find out.
Yeah. And Mark, any thoughts on why you think the timing was today versus earlier? Or is there I'm the cap guy and the contracts guy. I can't think of any reason that, I mean, today was the last day they could do it. So they pushed it out as far as they could. I mean, and you know, they obviously sometimes think of business in terms of in conjunction with the, you know, how to deal with the players and stuff like that. But any thoughts on why they pushed it out as far as they could?
Well, I'm wondering if it's possible that would they think that announcing it earlier would have deterred possible free agents from coming over to the Rams? I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if players think that way. I do have another reason, and this is actually, I'll share a little joke with you, a little humorous aside here. This podcast that this audio is going to be shared on is episode 399. And, you know, I've been doing this little bit where I talk about a player who's worn a uniform number 99 would be this episode. And I already recorded it. Well, I said, I can't use it. I said, you know what? Who am I going to talk about? Claude Roten? No, I'll have to talk about Aaron Donald, but it's almost disrespectful for him to him. I got to dedicate an entire episode to Aaron Donald. I'm not going to talk about him for 3 minutes at the start of an episode. So we won't do it this episode.
This
so
this is 399.
Episode 399.
Oh my!
There goodness. You go. So they were great waiting in
the football universe.
I
mean,
we came up with that. You and I talked about that
right.
idea. Was that when was that? What episode was that about?
It was like I think it was actually 301 because the first one I did was Byron Young, and I think
it was right before it was the 300.
So what they were probably doing was waiting until Rams Up Podcast got to 399. That's what I'm thinking.
I said, you know what? That makes more. Now it all makes sense. Now it all.
But do you think free agents would? Do you think that would affect free agents' willingness or desire to come over to the Rams if Aaron Donald had retired? I don't know.
Well, look at that. Go ahead, Tom. I'm gonna share my thoughts after. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna say real quick. I think that the only position I think it would affect would be the defensive line, because those guys, when they play with Aaron Donald on the defensive line or edge, they get paid. Yeah. We didn't sign any of those guys. So the opposite could be true. There was whispers around the league that this was about to happen.
Yep,
guys didn't come over. That would be the bigger conspiracy theory. But anyway, go ahead, Ian.
What you just said is what I think is probably the case. I think because the NFL, probably players knew it. That trickles down. I mean, well, executive front office coaches trickles down to agents. Agents get the whispers, and then they tell their players. I think that's why we didn't sign anybody, because I think everyone was like, Aaron Donald's not going to be there. That sounds like...
So they tried to keep it on the low down, and it didn't work, and the edge rushers were like, no thanks.
I mean, guys, we didn't sign anybody. Anybody. Oh. I mean, damn. There had to have been something going on. So that's my darker, sadder conspiracy of why, but it makes sense. Why haven't we signed anybody? Why did other guys that we could have afforded not come? Why did Josh Uche turn down? You know, it's just, anyway, making me more.
Paul, any conspiracy theories on the lack of interior defensive linemen and edges signing with us?
Conspiracy theories?
Well, I mean, any. Do you draw any conclusions with any linkage to between that and the fact that Aaron Donald retired?
No, not at all. I just think, I mean, you know, I was thinking about, like, as I'm driving home today, right? I know he's retired. I'm like, okay, I'm in my head, I'm changing my mock drafts, I'm changing all these different things. You know, listen, look, you know, it's great. Listen, he was a great player, one of the all-time great Rams, no question about it. But, you know, I've been saying it for, what, 3 years now? I was like, look, enough's enough. Dude, you want to retire? Retire. Same thing with for McVay. Same thing for everybody else. Listen, look, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. But, you know, keeping people in limbo for 3 years, you know, look how – and this is the other thing. I mean, look, I hate to be like the harsh, you know, voice of, you know, reality, but they threw away two seasons. That's the reality of it. The Rams threw away two seasons. And it's really, really hard. I said it how many – not even two episodes ago on the roundtable. I said it's very, very hard to go from two seasons of, you know, we don't need to win to now, like, let's go chase a ring. Listen, that was an embarrassing loss in Detroit. I don't think enough people are talking about that. That was an embarrassing loss in Detroit. Watch that game.
It wasn't good, yeah.
That was an embarrassing loss. People downplayed it. Oh, we weren't expected to win. What kind of talk is that? That was an embarrassing loss. They broke Iron Kyren's hand. They almost knocked out Stafford again. I mean, that was an embarrassing loss. And in my opinion, when we walked away from that, not we, but I'm just saying, when the Rams walked away from that Detroit game, that reaction told me that we were not in a good place, you know, the way they walked away from that Detroit loss. They weren't angry. They weren't upset. You know, it was almost too casual. So it's hard to go from 2 years of the mindset of like, it's okay to lose. And now say, oh, let's go chase a ring. Now you add this on to it. I'm telling you, it's going to take a lot. One thing I will say that's sort of interesting is that what direction are the Rams going to go on defense? For now that, you know, Chris Shula is there. Are they going to go uber athletic at linebacker? Are they going to stay with that same type of tight front format? You can do a lot, you know, they have to get sort of like commit themselves to a defensive philosophy now because they got to start retooling, right? Because you don't have 99 there. 99, think about it. He solved 99 problems, saved a lot of problems for the Rams on D.
Well, he certainly changed the dynamics of the secondary. I mean, when you can get pressure and so forth, you know, they had the luxury of never having to sign for the last 5 years, having to sign any kind of a contract for any safety, you know? And so we looked at all these safety contracts that were constantly being signed and traded for by the, you know, these big trades by the guys, the Seahawks, and he's going all in on these safeties. And we're like, you know, we just draft them and let them go. You know, we just pay them $1 million. And,
let me ask you this question.
And but now they signed Cam Curl today. I mean, just to make my point. My point great is signing. they signed Cam Curl, which is a great signing, but that was an unexpected signing from the standpoint that Rams don't sign safeties. So it could be the beginning of a shift in philosophy, right? And a shift of team building philosophy. Go ahead.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Oh, yeah.
To show you how much of a luxury they had with 99 problems. When they signed A'shaun Robinson to what was it, like $5-6 million a year?
Yeah.
We were like, that was like a huge defensive line signing. I want you to name one D lineman that they signed in the last 5 years. Apart from A'shaun Robinson.
Interior
guy, Rockers, yeah. But you know, we traded him.
Yeah. Rockers was gone, right? One D lineman other than A'shaun Robinson. That was such a big, we reacted to A'shaun Robinson signing, like, oh my gosh. Where, you know, he was like, you know, really like not a good thing in terms of contract.
I want to throw one thing out there that's been on my mind here. Yeah. Is there any, and it's been, you know, was floating around X and so forth. But Mark, if the Rams make the playoffs or are making a playoff run, is there any chance he comes back? Because you know he's going to be in shape.
Yeah, that crossed my mind. You know,
Waddle can be on shape on the beach. Right. Aaron Donald, you know, is going to be in shape.
Yeah, that crossed my mind. It did. And I suppose it's possible if you get into a playoff situation and maybe you're a little banged up. Absolutely. Yeah, that would be great.
Ian, do you think he comes back? Yeah.
It's possible. If Eric Weddle could do it.
Full Brady and do it every year for like 3 years.
2 years later, Eric Weddle was older and not as a freakazoid like Aaron Donald. It's possible, but I mean, look it. We just got to let that thought go. We just got to do it as a fan base. Well, everybody, just let it go. We just got to accept it. If it happens, hell yeah. But definitely. I just got to let it go because we just got to absorb the situation as is, right, gentlemen? We just got to absorb it and just say, damn it, life without Aaron Donald. Because, guys, let's be honest. I'm worried. I'm worried about the football side of it. I am. Because as of today, this is obviously before the rest of this free agency time. This is obviously before the draft and before any practices. And there's a lot goes down before any game action in September. I get all that. But as of today, this team's not a Super Bowl contender. Not at all. We gotta be fair. I don't think so. There's not enough consistent defensive playmakers for us to be in a championship opportunity right now. As of today, right now with Aaron Donald retiring. I love Ernest Jones. Kobe Turner had good moments. Byron Young had some good moments. Quinn Lake had some good moments. Those are young players. We got to see it to believe it. I got to see it to believe it. But we look at every team that wins the Super Bowl has multiple defensive game changers, difference makers that are consistent. We don't got that right now other than Ernest Jones. We don't. That's not enough. And if everyone thought our defense was going to be bad going into last year, I don't know how much better it's going to be this year as of today.
Yeah, that Super Bowl contender argument, it's you got to be careful how you quantify that. I think they definitely, I'm not counting them out for a playoff push. Absolutely not with this offense, the way they've geared up. Yeah. And if they can make a playoff push and at the same time add a few bodies on defense, you never know what's going to happen. I just want to be entertained. I want my team to be relevant and have a shot. And I think they still do with what they've done on offense, with or without Aaron Donald. But yeah, it sucks. And the defense worries me. But at the same time, man, we can just run it down people's throats. We got a great quarterback, good receivers, and that side of it, I'm still excited. But yeah, it's certainly changes things.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
McVay needs to have his best offensive game calls. He has to. We can't have those games where we lose on some BS, not running the ball, not whatever, red zone. It has to be good.
I think Paul and I need to run a mock draft where we trade around and pick up 14 picks and draft all defense.
I had Byron Murphy in two back-to-back mocks. I was so excited. And two other mocks where I had Chris Jenkins in the second round and Ruka Roro in the second round.
So, yeah, move on from Rome, Adunze, and Keon Coleman. And
if one thing I think is exciting, if Shula decides to go, obviously McVay, right? If they decide to go uber athletic at linebacker, Edge Cooper, man, from Texas A&M next to Ernest Jones, throw out four super athletic linebackers, sign Clowney. I'll rock with that.
Yeah, I think we could get by. I don't know if we need to draft any offensive lineman with Noteboom coming back. We probably will. But, we can spend our draft capital 80-90% on defense, I think. Might have
I honestly think that I am telling you that if they make a run, Donald's coming back to play in the playoffs. I don't think this is
cool.
We got four for four that we were thinking that.
I'm telling you, that was the first thing to pop.
I'm going to put a little bit of a wet blanket on that because the cap implications would be devastating, and I'm not even sure that they could happen. If you designate somebody a June 1, I don't know if you can bring them back. So anyway, it would go from $17 million to $38 million in cap hit this year, which would be, I'm not sure that's even possible. So I mean, I have to look into that a little bit more, but to be continued, but we'll forget the cap implications. He's coming back if we go to the playoffs. Screw it. Hey, one other thing I thought was interesting, and I was shocked about this, quite frankly, maybe just just because I follow this kind of stuff, but the NFC championship odds and the Super Bowl odds did not change in today after, you know, from before the retirement announcement till after the retirement announcement. And even I just checked just to verify as we're recording here at about, you know, 5:30 on Pacific time on Friday, they still haven't changed. And so, you know, assuming we were talking earlier, maybe they'll change throughout the day. Now, there's a chance there was some assumption this was going to happen. These odds makers tend to get good information. But the neither of those, you know, those haven't changed. So either it's either was baked in, or they feel like Aaron Donald's presence isn't going to move the needle.
Yeah, and I thought the odds were a little bit longer than they should have been. So maybe that's the case.
Yeah, they were a little bit longer than they should have been. They're sort of like, 14-1 for the NFC Championship and 32-1 for the Super Bowl. So pretty long odds for the Rams. Anyway, yeah. Mark has to leave in about 5 minutes, so I wanted to go rapid fire with Mark before we.
I feel like I'm on a game show.
Yeah, no, you are. We're gonna go rapid fire here. This is the new. This is gonna be part of one of our new segments. So rapid fire on other news of the day, Mark. Okay, and then we can break it down after you go. So first thing is Joe Noteboom extension takes $8.25 million pay cut. Net effectively agrees to make $6 million this year, right? So if he would have left, virtually none of his money this year was guaranteed. So if he would have been cut, right, then the Rams would have had a little bit bigger dead cap hit. But from Noteboom's perspective, right, he gets $6 million roughly. And so is that a – do you feel like he could have – if he would have been released by the Rams, cut by the Rams, he would have been an unrestricted free agent. Do you think Joe Noteboom could have gotten more than $6 million from another team, or do you think Joe Noteboom made the right move and in coming back to the Rams and taking $6 million?
Well, I haven't been tracking what kind of contracts offensive linemen of his level have been getting.
He's a starting left tackle, Mark.
Right, yeah. Well, he was.
I'm kidding.
But I don't know. I really don't know. But, you know, you don't know what's going on in a player's head. Sometimes it's more than that. Maybe he loves living in Ventura County and he loves the culture there. And all I'm going to say is I'm glad he's back. I've been saying this for months. I know there's a lot of Noteboom haters, but you can do a lot worse as a sixth offensive lineman when we thought they were making a Super Bowl push, a playoff push. You need guys like that, and we're probably going to end up needing them. So what he could have gotten, I really don't know.
Fair enough.
You think he would have been able to get more, though?
I think he could have been right around that number. But they gave him another point, you know, $750,000 in, you know, the roster bonuses or, you know, game bonuses or something. Anyway, next topic, Cam Curl. You know anything about Cam Curl? Are you glad he signed? It's about 2 years.
The only thing what I do know about Cam Curl is that he was a seventh round draft pick, and the Commanders fan base loves him. I did a little bit of reading about him. I think he had his second year. He had a little bit of a downswing, but overall, the Commander fan base loves him. I think he's really versatile, and seems like a good ad to me from what I know.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are saying it was a steal you can always tell when the team that he didn't resign with, like in this case, the Commanders, the fan base is furious that the Commanders didn't resign him.
A little note on that same draft, the Rams drafted two safeties, Terrell Burgess and Jordan Fuller, well ahead of him, but.
I mean, a big plus for Cam Curl is that he's a seventh round draft pick, and the Rams refuse to play anybody at safety that's, you know, anything lower than a fifth round. So yeah, he fit the bill. Okay, next question. Christian Roseboom is coming back. He was a starting inside linebacker for the Rams last year. He was a restricted free agent. They did not tender him. He did not take any other offers. And at this point in time, he's coming back to the Rams. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think he's a solid, reliable player. And, you know, I had my shopping list that I developed, and one of them was an inside linebacker. And, you know, I'm trying to remember, I knew Roseboom was leaving, but I didn't know if I would check that box by bringing Roseboom back. And I'm kind of, you know, kind of on the fence about that. I welcome him back. It's a thin group after what we got the, Fatukasi, whatever his name is, from Rutgers, and Jake Hummel and Ernest Jones, and that's it. So, yeah, welcome him back at a reasonable contract. Ideally, we would still add a I'd love just to have a pair of really top-notch linebackers back there. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, though. But, yeah, bringing Roseboom back makes sense.
Gotcha. And the last question before you have to go is your reaction to our new backup quarterback, Mr. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, you know, I hesitate to say, because I was watching Ian's eye rolls every time we mentioned Jimmy G. but I think, you know, in this offense, you know, he's a proven NFL starting caliber quarterback. I think he played pretty poorly last year, and he has limitations. But I think he kind of fits the system good as a backup quarterback. If you need him to come in for a couple games. Now, he doesn't have the legs and the wheels, guys like Carson Wentz and Tyrod Taylor, Brissett, some of these other guys, but I'm okay with it. I think it'd be really interesting if Stafford missed a game against the 49ers and we had to go to Jimmy G. That would be fun. But
yeah, so just as a follow-up, then we'll let you go, is what do you think his salary hasn't been, it's a 1-year deal. We know that. We don't know what his compensation is. What do you think his comp is going to be?
And let's see, Wentz was, we gave Wentz $1 million. I think it was, I would suspect it'd be maybe in the $2-2.5 million per year. Just guessing. Gotcha. I'm not a contracts guy though. I really have no idea.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's going to be more in the Darnold range, in that $4-5 million range, yeah. But we'll see. Okay, good. Well, hey, let you go. Enjoy your evening out. Thanks for pushing the hopefully you're okay with this. If not, just edit it out of the audio, because you're in charge, because you're the producer. But I wanted to give you the chance to give the audience what I thought was hilarious. When you have a standing date with your wife on Friday night and you had to push it back to have this emergency podcast, and she didn't necessarily understand when you told her what happened, and I wanted you to share everybody what the analogy you gave her to try and help her understand.
Yeah, I told her it would be like if she found out on the drive home that General Hospital was being canceled forever immediately. No more General Hospital. She'd be on the phone with her friends. Good thing she doesn't watch these.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Mark, and have a great night. Well, we'll be back with you soon. Back to Ian and Paul.
Yeah, here. And don't give up faith, guys. Rams could still have a very good season. I'll leave it at that.
The elder statement has spoken.
Yeah. Okay, that's guys, nice. Out here.
Okay, take care, Mark.
Have a great one.
So, so let's get into some of these other topics, guys, with you. So, you know, Noteboom, Ian, do you feel like Noteboom could have gotten more than $6 million elsewhere, or do you feel like that was about the right number?
No, I feel like that was probably the right number for a backup. And apologies if I'm lagging here. I hear thunder and lightning outside my room, so that shows you the weather that's going on out here in L.A. right now. But back to Noteboom, sorry about that. I just want to share that in case audio or video gets a little weird here on my end. But, I mean, look at guys. He was going to get cut. And if he did not take this pay cut, he was going to get probably lower-level backup money somewhere else. Let's just be honest. And not be a Ram, not be in Los Angeles, not be in a system where he's, you know, not valued. Be somewhere else where he's going to have to earn the respect of players and coaches. He already has the respect of our coaches and the rest of the players. We know he can fill in a pinch and play good football. So I think for him to accept this, I mean, what a team guy. It's not easy having to accept millions being taken out of your paycheck, right? That's a tough spot, man. But it's the yin and yang of it. Do I leave and I'm not guaranteed anything, or do I stay here and I'm guaranteed something? And that comes with money, respect, possible playing time. And I think those were options that he weighed. And I think he made the right choice. And it benefits us, obviously. But I don't know if he would have gotten serious money anywhere else anyway.
Paul, what do you think?
I mean, it's good. Like I said, I think Nopum, in terms of the depth aspect of it, you know, he's a proven player. A lot of people feel he has starter capability. That's a luxury that the Rams have. Contract-wise, I mean, they made it work. I mean, they made the offensive line deeper and stronger, regardless of what anyone says about his capability, right? You have to look at it like, you know, like Ian said, you have to be functional when you look at it. So, yeah, I'm sort of like neutral on him, but from the standpoint of, you know, when you think back to that Super Bowl run, you know, he did play a pivotal role when Whitworth went out. So,
yeah, I think it's underrated. I think if we would have lost Nopum, there would have been a lot of talk. You know, I mean, aside from the Aaron Donald being the same day as Aaron Donald, I think we would have there would have been a lot of talk that, wow, we don't have any depth on our offensive line. And from his, but I view it from his perspective, because the Rams were going to cut him and they're trying to figure out what his market value is, and that's what they would give him, right? Oh, you know what? You guys go figure out what your market value is and we'll match it, and you can stay here or leave. And so from his perspective, he's like, okay, let's say I was worth $6 million. I can go somewhere else. Maybe I can get a starting gig as a guard or something like that, or a right tackle, or who knows? I mean, the guy's so versatile. He could probably start almost any position except center. And so he's thinking about that. And if you're he's a perfect candidate, if you think about it, for like one of these salvage years where he goes and tries to get a reclamation year where he starts and proves himself, you know, kind of a Kevin Dotson kind of a guy or something like that, you know, and then gets a big bag at, you know, when he just kills it. And so, you know, he's not going to get that with the Rams because he's not going to start, right? He knows that. He knows he's not a starting offensive lineman for the Rams. And so I'm putting myself in his head and I'm thinking, you know what? I can stay with the Rams. I know I'm the first guy in, and I know I have a really solid offensive line around me. So he's probably betting on the statistics. He's not hoping for, and nobody hopes for injuries, but statistics show that it's extremely rare that your entire offensive line stays healthy for the entire year. Somebody's going to go down, statistically speaking, right? It's very rare. Like our Super Bowl year, we were very lucky that nobody was permanently out, you know, out for the entire year. So he thinks he's going to probably statistically going to get a shot. Even if Avila goes down as a center, he's going to move to guard and we're going to, you know, put somebody else in there. So, and Nopum will, you know, Nopum's going to get a shot no matter what, if somebody goes down. So I think that's what he's thinking. And then he'll play, he'll kill it aside from all, you know, in around all these other great players and get a bag next year. So, he's probably betting on himself. I just put myself in these guys' shoes, and I think they always bet on themselves. Anyway, that was my take.
Think about Roger Saffold. Didn't he go through this whole same scenario? Remember that?
Yeah, very similar. Yeah,
for three seasons before finally he got that huge deal.
Yeah, so he gets a chance and a deal. So let's talk about Cam Curl. So the first, as we mentioned earlier, the first safety to get any kind of a contract from the Rams, you know, be over, you know, $3-5 million a year. And so Ian, what are your thoughts on Cam Curl? Paul, go to you. Ian's frozen a little bit.
I mean, I love the signing. I love Cam Curl. I think it was interesting. when we were playing around with free agents, we automatically, I think all of us said, all right, you know, the safety market is just not for us because that's not what they do. We thought,
right,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Nick Scott's coming back. Nick Scott's going to be the signing.
Right.
Cam Curl, SEC kid, Razorbacks. So many people feel he is probably one of the most physical safeties in the league. So right off the bat, puts him in my, you know, positive house. I love that. You know, can definitely play deep center if he has to. But, you know, Mark and I were talking about this at the last mock draft, is that, you know, it's interesting is that I said, if they got more athletic at safety, the type of things that they could do now that with Blake being there and having almost that double star scenario, they can run that split half field coverage that they like so much, that cover six. Think about it. Now you can do that with this kid. This kid plays the run. He can play in the box. He can do all sorts of different things. He's athletic. He can make plays deep middle. So he gives them a lot of versatility. I think that combination of Curl and Lake, I mean, think about it. I know that the Rams were talking about that three safety look because they did it last year and it worked out really well. Remember when they lost confidence in Kendrick and they were forced to go?
Yeah. Yeah. No, really. It was out of necessity on lack of confidence in the cornerback room. But
he stumbled into this like, oh, holy cow, look at the way Lake is playing the star, right? So I think that might be, bringing back maybe Nick Scott on a really, really cheap deal might even make sense as well. But I think that's, you know, this is just part of it. I mean, look, he's a young guy. I was thinking about Xavier McKinney before he got that huge deal because, that was one of my favorites in terms of free agents was McKinney. So, but this is a great sign. I don't understand what Washington was thinking by letting this kid go, unless there's something I'm missing. I remember his draft combine workouts. I remember his scouting report. So I think he's a great fit. He's going to be the ringleader for the Rams secondary. Just love it. Just love it. I think it's a great signing.
Ian, Cam Curl.
Yes, and shout out to Thunder and Lightning, you know, kind of calming down over here in the east side of Los Angeles. Man, it is pouring out here crazy. Sorry for the technical issues. But, guys, we paid a safety. Who would have thought, right? I mean, the last time we paid a safety any good money was LaMarcus Joyner back in 2018, and that was probably the last time we've ever put serious money into that position. So
we gave a little bit.
We gave a little bit of cash to Weddle too. But for Cameron Curl here, I mean, guys, I think we kind of have to take a step back and realize the big picture of just how crappy Washington was ran this last season. Let's just be real. Everyone didn't play up to par. Nobody did. Sweat, Young, Allen, Payne, Curl, Fuller, they all have played way better football for Washington other than this last season. It was just a mess, okay? So we take that into perspective that all their best players did not play as well because of the dysfunction. We rewind to two seasons ago. Cameron Curl was a top five safety. I don't even think that's a question. His film was excellent. His PFF grades, if you pay attention to those things outside of film, which film is number one, don't forget. He was the second highest graded safety. I mean, this dude is good. Even this last season, his stuff was good. But again, dysfunction, things were not perfect. I thought the schemes were meh. But I mean, guys, to get him for 2 years, only $13 million for one of the top, let's say a top 10 safety the last couple of years, depending on who you ask. Objectively, don't just listen to names. Watch the film. I mean, damn, I'm shocked he wasn't getting $10, $12, $13 million a year, which I know the safety market is depreciating right now for whatever reason, which is crazy. We're lucky. We're very lucky to get somebody young, talented, and can tackle. Think about that last playoff game, how much that was pissing off our fan base and making me mad, seeing how many missed tackles there were. This guy ain't going to miss on his tackles, and that's a big part of the future, which I'm sure Shula, who is a safety guy, he's the one who identified Fuller, identified John Johnson to draft the Rams. He pushed for the Rams to draft those guys. There's no doubt that he pushed our front office and Coach McVay to sign this guy, and we got him at a good deal.
Yeah, interesting. Real- Fuller might make be making the same amount at you know just over $5 million as who do you go to Panthers? I think.
Carolina.
Reunited with
Real quick, I just want to show something on my screen to present. Am I able to do that real quick? It's like
yeah. 10 seconds. I'm not sure that we're gonna have this on video, but
it sounds good. Well, just for our fun. What is this?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He says you do that. So Fuller makes 5.25, I think, for a year, and Cam Curl will probably make about $5 million this year, and probably another $5 million next year with a $3 million roster bonus or something like that. So it's not guaranteed. But
look at that. Can you see?
Let's see here.
Oh, so I don't know if it's showing up. Look at this man in a Rams uniform.
That's very nice. I want to ask this question. I might be maybe I sound old and stupid, but how do these players from other teams have pictures, or you know, how do they get put into their new team's uniforms when they clearly
it's a lot of Photoshop, and this is from our friend on the Rams universe, Moss to Branch. So he does some edits, a lot of Ram stuff, and I touched it up in some areas. Obviously, I took away the name tag that bothers me on our jersey, added the blue collar just for fun, and some other stuff I think that we should do with our uniforms in 2025. But hey, man, with it's a lot of just really good editing with Photoshop, really. It's finding pictures of Rams players that are in a similar position, and then obviously you morph it to fit on a player like this. So hey, everybody, that looks pretty good. 31.
It happens all the time on it.
Him and Darius Williams are going to have to fight for the number, but maybe he goes back to 11, Darius. But hey,
happens all the time on X. You see these players in other uniforms when they get traded and stuff, or somebody saying, "I want my player in this uniform." And yeah, I love that stuff.
Anyway, he looks not bad in blue and white and gold.
Looks really good.
So anyway, I just want to show that.
Good. Let's move on to the next topic, which is Mr. Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm going to let, before Ian shares his feelings, I'm going to let Paul share your feelings.
So you will have to bleep out a lot of my feelings. So I'm going to try to keep it. I don't even know why they signed him.
You're not a fan.
Not at all. Especially, you know, just think about that. 99 retires and he comes on the team. Oh my gosh.
Well, aside from that, let's not juxtapose those. Let's move on from that. As a backup quarterback.
Yeah, even as a backup quarterback. Why? What does he bring to the team? We're signing him as a backup. So what does he bring to the team? Tell me above and beyond any other backup quarterback.
I mean, I think the devil's advocate of why they signed him was scheme fit. You know, he's been a starting a productive, very winning quarterback, you know, with a good, you know, on a good team when he was with San Francisco. He's one of the winning
insights about the 49ers, right?
He was I mentioned that to you guys earlier today. He brings a lot of insights. The Rams and 49ers love signing each other's players for those reasons, right? I mean, you Sebastian Joseph Day, there was there's a bunch of guys, right, that have gone back and forth on these teams, but I don't think they would have done it for that reason. But you know, when he's in a good system and he has a good play caller like he did with Shanahan, you know, he was one of the winningest quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and he had his deficiencies. But you know, he goes to the Raiders and he sucks, and it's because they sucked. You know, and they had a shitty offensive system, and he's a system quarterback. I mean, let's just face it. And so McVay can set him up to succeed in a system, and he's highly accurate. He can process things quickly. He's terrible once he gets out of the system. He's one of the worst, as a matter of fact, when you get out of the system.
Haven't convinced me yet, Tom.
Okay. He's not a freewheeling guy. He's not Baker or whatever when he gets out of this, but, and he doesn't have that arm strength for especially, you know, throws, but he could execute a McVay could create a condense the playbook for him to, and he could operate it very efficiently. That's why.
And what was the contract you were anticipating for him? $5 million?
I think he's going to get probably, I'm thinking more in the $4 million range, but yeah. I mean, just a little bit of a side note for,
that's what's wrong with the NFL today, folks.
Just a little bit of a side note out there for everybody that he, you know, when he got caught using something that was a banned substance or something as a 2-game suspension in 2024. And that voided the, because of that automatically voids any guarantees on your 2024 contract. So he lost $12 million guaranteed or thereabouts from the Raiders. That probably would have been, he probably would have had an offset contract like Russell Wilson, where he could have, you know, where he could have signed anywhere for $1.2 million and at the minimum and still made his $12 million. But that, because that's avoided now, he has to make as much as he can. So, and it goes into his pocket. So that's why I think it'll be probably in the $4 million range. But anyway, regardless, Ian, what are your thoughts on Jimmy G?
You weren't here yet, Paul, but I said, what are we doing announcing this on the same day, an hour later, less than an hour later than Aaron Donald calling it quits? And we all are in our feels like, damn it, Rams. Let's just cool it on that. So I shared my thoughts earlier on that, or what I just told you. But, okay, objective. Let's just take my irritated feelings out of it. Okay, look it. What are the positive? I'll start with that. He's familiar with this West Coast, modern Shanahan, Mike Shanahan-style offense that McVay runs. Now is he familiar with that route? He's also familiar with the Kyle Shanahan route, which we are starting to implement heavily, and we have with LaFleur being our OC. So he's familiar with this scheme in all its different levels of classic to modern to power. He knows all of it and has played in all of those styles. That's a plus. Does he have to learn it from scratch? No, that's a plus. Will he be able to play tomorrow if he really had to? He probably could, and it wouldn't be terrible. It wouldn't be bad. Now, what are the minuses? The money better be significantly cheap. I'm sorry. The only way this signing is okay to me is if Carson Wentz was demanding a lot of money. It's the only way. The only way I'll be okay with it. Because obviously we had our quarterback backup list earlier this last month or so, right? We talked about Tyrod. We talked about Minshew. We talked about Brissett. We talked about others and others that are all signed to teams pretty much at this point. So it's, you know, the list isn't too large. Wentz was my number one. And look it, Garoppolo is not athletic like Wentz. He is very much injury prone, as we have seen the last gazillion seasons since he's been a pro. That's not a good formula to have a backup who's backing up somebody who also gets injured, and Matthew Stafford's a tough son of a gun, and he plays through a lot. Let's not get it twisted here. But that's not a great formula, right? To have two guys in your depth chart at quarterback have health issues consistently in some form or another. Not great. His arm's okay, and that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. He has plenty of starting experience. We've seen good Garoppolo. We've seen really bad Garoppolo. I'll give him a slight pass for the McDaniels experience, because McDaniels has never had a good offense when he hasn't been coaching with Tom Brady, the greatest ever at quarterback. Okay, let's get it straight. Everyone, and then real quick for all my Raider friends that are out there, I told you that move was going to be terrible, and look what happened. Anyway, I just wanted to shove it in their faces one more time about that. But I'll give him a pass because of that a little bit. McDaniels, not a good play caller, not a good coach when it's not with Tom Brady. Sorry. So we'll see. But that contract is going to dictate really how I feel about all of it. Is it a lot of money, which is, you know, $4 million and above? I'll be pissed. And if Carson Wentz was demanding more than that, then I'll have to bite that bullet a little bit more than I would like to. But if those numbers end up being the same down the line, I'm going to be mad. And
can I Can I further, Ian, help me out on this. Let's further illustrate the Ram Nation.
Yeah.
So, Ian, when they signed Carson Wentz, what you were excited, I was excited, Tom was excited, Mark was excited. Tell me why you were excited. Was it about his arm strength? Tell me why you were excited.
Well, long story short, he was a former MVP candidate that we've seen play good football many seasons in a row. Was it perfect all the time? No, but we've seen high-level football in a consistent basis for more than one season with Carson Wentz. Right. And it was time with the Colts wasn't bad. He got blamed for a lot of their nonsense. His time with Washington wasn't bad. He got blamed for a lot of their nonsense, clearly. And obviously, Philly was dysfunctional at the time, and he got blamed for a lot of that nonsense going on behind the scenes.
But how,
so all
how
that together,
you, how
I was
much
like,
of
cool.
Tangibles did you were you excited about that Carson Wentz was coming on the team? Like his character, his personality, did that factor in?
Well, look, I didn't buy into that he was some terrible teammate because a lot of players did. A lot of players backed him up. A lot of the media was like, he's a this, that. And Garoppolo, from all accounts, is not a bad teammate or any of those things either. But just from a pure football standpoint, Wentz is was a good quarterback at one point. You can't even argue that.
Yeah.
Has Garoppolo ever been a really, like, actually, like, man, he's pretty good. Has that ever really been a topic of conversation, objectively, like, just without Shanahan scheming things up, without, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. And this isn't some 49er hate here. I'm just trying to be objective as possible. So I was excited about Wentz because we've seen him play good football. And he is a starting level quarterback in this league. And he was going to be our backup. Is Garoppolo starting level?
Mm. Okay. There's five guys that are available right now that are.
Oh, God. Let's hear it.
Okay. There's five guys. I mean, we're not going to get into the Brian Hoyers. Nate Sudfeld's of the world. Okay.
Yeah.
There's five guys that, you know, a lot of people that have had some success as quarterbacks that are considered backup quarterbacks. And I'm going to give you the five names. One of them is Carson Wentz, and I'm assuming you guys are going to rate him first. But I want you to rate these guys 1 through 5, okay?
Okay.
I want you to think about it. You're write it down or make a mental note.
Yeah.
Give me your opinion. So I'll let Paul go first. I'm going to give you these guys. Okay, ready? These are the only five guys that have had any success as quarterbacks that are on the market and available as backups. Jimmy G, I'm going to have to add. So there's six. Okay. There's five plus Jimmy G. So the other five are Carson Wentz, Ryan Tannehill,
mm-hmm.
Josh Dobbs, Tyler Huntley.
Okay.
PJ Walker, those are the other five. Who would you rate number one?
Wentz.
Okay.
Agreed.
Okay. Yeah, you guys can do it. We can do it simultaneously.
Number two is Huntley. Number three is Tannehill. Number four is Josh Dobbs. And who was the last one? Walker?
PJ Walker.
I'll take him over Garoppolo.
Okay, so you rank Garoppolo last. Okay, So what's your rankings, Ian? Carson?
Yeah, real quick. I mean, Wentz, I'll take Ryan Tannehill second for sure. I would take,
Dobbs, Huntley, Walker.
I would take Dobbs probably third. I would take Huntley fourth, and then PJ Walker. I would take Garoppolo over PJ Walker. I would.
Okay, so you guys got Huntley.
Yeah.
Of the guys that are remaining, I'm assuming you're not taking Brian Hoyer or Nate Sudfeld over Jimmy Garoppolo. But anyway, so you guys, not too happy about that. You know, maybe some of these other guys, Tannehill, maybe he's trying to, you know, stick it out. Maybe he's going to go came back to the Browns last year. Who am I thinking?
Who, Deshaun Watson?
No. Who came back to and for the Browns last year from the out of retirement?
For the Browns,
comeback player of the year. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Flacco?
Flacco, yeah. So maybe Tannehill goes the Flacco route, right? He's kind of an older guy who waits for a.
I still think Tannehill's going. To have a problem. He's going to Pittsburgh. I called that. I still believe it happened. Now that Kenny Pickett's got shipped away, him and Arthur Smith link up again like their Tennessee Titan days.
Interesting. Yeah. Obviously, they have Wilson, but anyway, my point is, there's these retread guys. I mean, Dobbs, Huntley, Walker, and Wentz is still probably thinks he's a starting quarterback, but. Anyway, interesting. Okay, well, good. Good thoughts. You guys are not high on the Jimmy Garoppolo signing. I think he's almost an ideal backup guy. You know, been a very effective starter, winning starter in this scheme, and can do it. Now, as a long-term guy, you know, to take you, bring something new to the table, to take you, get you over the hump or something like that, if you know, let's face it, if Stafford goes down, it doesn't matter who the fuck's back there. You know, this team is going nowhere, right? I mean, you know, right? I mean, let's just face it, right? And so, so what the guys, backup quarterback's role is to play a couple of games when Stafford gets, banged up. And hopefully he doesn't get banged up, but, with his offensive line, he shouldn't. But if he does get hurt, and he's older, and that's been his history, for a couple of games, a guy who can go in and execute. So anyway, that's I guess I'm taking the positive view on that. I'm usually the naysayer in this.
Yeah, group, gentlemen, it all counts how I'm gonna finally feel about this. The finality of how I'm gonna feel about it is how much we are paying him for this one.
What's season. The over under on your number?
It better be under $3 million. It better.
$3 million. It better. What's your over under, Paul?
Better.
Free. Paul's over under is free.
I'm like, listen, it better be like a very, very minimal number, because, in my mind is like, if you start talking about those numbers that you were throwing around before, that's another position player that we can't sign. And I don't think he's worth. So the way I look at it is like, when you start talking about like 5 million stuff, you're talking about a 2-for-1 deal. You're saying he's as good as having another player on the roster. That's what you're saying.
Like another $5 million safety. Yeah.
Yeah. So that I'm like, immediately to me, that's like no brainer. No, absolutely not.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
Also, okay. I'm big on like the psyche of it and the intangibles aspect of it, the psyche of the team. It gives me like just a bad vibe having him on the team.
It's kind of creepy. I know.
I mean,
not a great team. I mean, the teammates loved him, but he's not a good communicator. Yeah. It's an interesting situation.
The vibes are not great right now in Rams Nation. I'm sorry. It's just bad vibes today. It's just, damn it.
Bad vibes. Yeah. Bad vibes. All right. Well, let's end it on that, guys. Been going over an hour here on an emergency roundtable. That's quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
So good.
Real quick, Tom. I just want to share my favorite moment of Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
While this is on the thought in my head. Hey, shout out number 99. I'm wearing the Super Bowl jersey. Had to wear it for this pod.
99 problems, baby.
Modern throwback, like they say in the Rams organization. My favorite moment in person, I'll keep it to that, because there's obviously great moments we've all seen on the television set, was the Monday night shootout on Monday Night Football. Rams Chiefs in 2018, when he had that sack fumble where Ibukam scooped it up and scored. That was a great moment. That's when he was, on a tear, almost going to break the sack record. And I knew we were legit, and I knew Aaron Donald was that dude at that moment. I was like, he's a Hall of Famer in that game, no doubt about it. And that was my favorite moment, the strip sack fumble that Ibukam scooped and scored in the Monday Night Football Classic, Rams Chiefs. That was awesome. Shout out to 99. You're the best.
Can I share my favorite moment?
Yeah.
All right. It's easy. When we were in the Super Bowl, when they started surrounding him on the sideline after that late hit, right? And the Rams looked flat. And in my head, I said, now it's over. Now it's done. Right?
I think that was the biggest mistake they ever did.
That moment. I remember turning to my son. I said, dude, now watch. It's done.
Yep. And it was.
it's actually a tie, because the other one would be when he had his helmet on and McVay went over to him. It's your time. And he just shook his head. He was like, and we all know the rest is history.
Yeah, I mean, that's my best memories is that Super Bowl run with the Garoppolo sack and, you know, forcing that interception at the end of the game seal it. And then of course he seals I was watching that play and you knew that Burrow wanted to go to Chase because he was going to Chase.
Oh yeah.
He even went to the Chase before that. In that previous drive when he overthrew him and stuff. So it was like, I got to go to my best guy right now, you know, Boyd's dropped a ball over the middle. I'm not going to Boyd. He's already, you know, and so, you know, he's going to Chase. And then Jalen Ramsey, God bless him, falls down, literally slips. Chase is wide open. Nick Scott is back there. One, you know, single high safety. And no shot at getting over to Chase. And Aaron Donald saved the day.
There's an alternate universe where they make that play and we lost. Good thing we live in this timeline, right, gentlemen?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, those are the plays where he, you know, he showed up and he beat, you know, essentially double teams. And so anyway, it's all good. But
greatness.
My biggest, you know, long-term memory of Aaron Donald will be the legacy that he leaves, not just to the Rams, but to that position, right? Anybody who is a true legacy player in any sport changes the position. And Aaron Donald was an undersized guy that was not a prototypical in interior defensive lineman at all at the time.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, he dropped, what was he, 12, 13? What was he drafted at? And and that was even, a lot of people said that was high for a little, you know, tiny interior defensive lineman. So he changed, and now look at it. Now everybody wants you know, leverage and quickness, agility, and speed and on the interior defensive line. He changed the game.
Yeah,
that to me is his living legacy. And of course, as Rams fans, we think of him in terms of, you know, winning a Super Bowl and other things. But he changed the NFL in a key position that was just a bunch of 300-pound brawlers across the whole line. And that's what they were. And things are different now. And he did that. And in doing so, he ended up enabling those guys to be pass rushers and run defenders simultaneously. And the entire position group has started to get paid, whereas they weren't before. So, anyway, cool. Shout out.
Thank you, Les Snead. Thank you, Les Snead, for choosing Aaron, because the Greg Robinson pick in second overall, what a disaster that would have been if now looking, you know, Aaron's retiring today for a different team and just how there would be no good times, most likely, more than not, possibly, right? The trajectory of this team.
It's so funny would that. Be different.
And, you know, man, I mean, that's just how it goes sometimes, baby. Sometimes you get lucky and you make good decisions when you don't know if they're going to be good. And to your point, Tom, all those metrics, nobody knew, but the Rams did know. And here we are today celebrating.
Here we are today. So good for them. So anyway, we'll end on that note. And thanks, guys. Great stuff. And as always, and see what else, see what other curveballs the Rams throw at us over the next several days. And hopefully be back on Tuesday and with another roundtable and chop it up again. So keep it rolling. So, until then, thanks everybody, and exciting times ahead for the Rams. Keep our positive thoughts up despite losing Aaron Donald, and we'll talk to you soon.
AD all day, baby.
99 problems, but the Hall of Fame isn't going to be one. We'll see you in Canton, Aaron Donald. Salute. Go
throw in that jacket, baby.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.